in regards to the God. There we go. We're looking at the book of Genesis, and today we're up to part three. And I want to quickly look at it. I mean quickly, because if you looked at what I had, we would have still finished very late. So I'm going to try to cut this as short as possible. But today I want to look at how we are created in God's image. We finished last week with Genesis 1, 26 and 27, where we read, "And God said, let us..." Who's he talking to? Himself. He refers to himself as us, and it's not to look at it how we look at it today, where people refer to themselves as they, them. No, it's not like that at all. It comes from the word Elohim, which means one, yet more than one. He says, let us make men in our own image after our likeness. So God created men in his. So he's saying us, but his. So here we see that God is one, yet more than one, in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Amen? Amen. Male and female created he them. And then we learn from this that human life has sacred value and dignity. There is so much just in looking at these verses. See, being made in God's image means that all people, all human beings, okay, regardless of age, race, gender, the two, ability or status, have intrinsic worth. That word means that they are valuable just because of who they are. You've been created in the image of God, and God is valuable. Amen. He's almighty, and he is perfect and holy and righteous, and he's worth so much. So if we've been created in his image, just because of that, we are valuable. We matter. We have a purpose. We have worth. In other words, human value, listen carefully, this is before grace. Well, sorry, this is when grace was still happening, but this is before the new covenant, if I should say. It says, human value is not earned by performance or productivity, but it's bestowed by God. It's bestowed by God. When he created you in his image. Anybody have a problem with that? You can't. It's a challenge to think that everybody, even people that aren't so nice. I was got a phone call this week from a nephew who I hadn't heard from in a very long time, and I shared some of the story, and he's back in prison again. It's never his fault, of course, but he's there for a year, and they're just moving him up to the higher security prison because he called me and we were talking and stuff. I love him. I love him to death, you know. And he comes from my side of the family, not Susan's. So, but my daughter was telling my granddaughter, hey, you know, about the situation. And our little granddaughter, who, how old is Bailey? Six. She's so little and cute. And she said, Mum, but I thought we came from a good family. I'm like, how does she even think to say that? And she goes, we do well. If one of us is in prison, it can't be that good. But you know what? I love my nephew. He's created in God's image. God loves him and he's mindful of him. And his value and worth is not determined by his good or bad actions. There are consequences to our actions, of course. But his worth and value is not determined by anything that happens. You see, this truth that every person is made in God's image and has God-given value is actually the foundation for why we believe in human rights. It's a foundation worldwide. The pursuit of justice. It's because we've been made in God's image that we believe in justice. And the protection of life at every stage. Every stage. The protection of life at every stage. It reminds us that all people deserve to be treated with dignity. I struggle with this because there's some people that I think, how could I show dignity to that person? But really, if they were created in God's image, something's happened that's made them behave in certain ways, and it's called the fall. It's called the fall. But it reminds us that everyone's to be treated with dignity, compassion, and fairness. That'll be an ideal world, wouldn't it? Not because of what they do, okay? And that means regardless of what they do, but because of who they are in God's eyes. This is why we stand for sanctity of life from the unborn to the elderly. Amen? This is why we stand up for the sanctity of life from the unborn to the elderly, and why we oppose any form of oppression, discrimination, or violence. We oppose that. That's not who we are. That's not what we are meant to be for. You see, now you might say, well, Sandro, that's all good, but that was pre-fall, wasn't it? Well, it's interesting because in Genesis 9, after the fall, after sin entered, after the temptation in the garden, after the Adam and Eve situation, in Genesis 9:6 we read, whoever sheds man's blood, by men his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. It still counts. We still are created and considered to be in the image of God. Now, we are created in the image of God. That means that we are created as a reflection of God's nature. All human beings. All human beings. What about those who don't believe? Well, that's their problem, but that's who they are supposed to be. That's why the world is so messed up, because we don't know who we are or what we're meant to be. But when you do, when you know who you are in God, you're able to be who you were created to be and accomplish the will and purpose that God predestined for you. You see, we are created as reflection of God's nature. The Hebrew term image and likeness actually suggests two things. Representation, which means we represent God on earth as his stewards, like an ambassador. That's who we were meant to be, both New and Old Testament. See, 2 Corinthians 5:20, we read, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Hello? As though God were pleading through us to implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. We are ambassadors. 1 Peter 4:10, one of several verses, as each one of you has received the gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We are stewards of the grace of God. Of the grace of God. Wow, grace is getting what we don't deserve. We are stewards of making sure that people understand that God loves them and that he died on the cross for them and he wants to be in relationship with them. And then secondly, being created as a reflection of God's nature means that we are a resemblance. In other words, we reflect aspects of his nature. We've been created in his image. When you go and look in a mirror, which is something that scares me nowadays. I went to the bathroom before. I did my afternoon bathroom routine while Ross was doing his thing. Okay, you guys are slow. Come on. Oh, man, is this how it's going to be? Jesus, we thank you. I went to the bathroom and you look and you think, who's that old ugly person? You know, was that good-looking young guy that this gorgeous woman fell in love with when she saw him? That hunk of a spunk, where is he? And I think, oh, that's me. You see, when you look in the mirror, it's your reflection. It reflects you exactly who you are. So if someone came in and didn't see you but saw the mirror, they'll be looking at you and not realize it's a mirror, because the mirror reflects who you are, your movements, your character, well, you know, what you portray in human, in fleshy form. But see, that is how we are to be with God, not just from a fleshly perspective, not physically, but spiritually and morally. That's how we've been created to be. See, what we reflect of God includes a lot more than this, but it also includes rationality. We are to reflect the rationality of God. We are to reflect moral consciousness. We are to reflect relational capacity. We are to reflect spiritual awareness. We are to reflect authority and stewardship. For example, rationality. Genesis 2, 19 and 20. Listen to this. Listen to what God did here. Now, the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky, and he brought them to the men to see what he would name them. Can you imagine that? This is... So he comes up to Adam and says, Adam, come here, what would you call that? God's asking, man, what would you call that? Oh, looks a lot like a lion to me. Lion, I like that. Well, call it lion. What about that one? Bear? I like that. I mean, God is asking, man, what do you think this should be called? He's reasoning with humans. Why? Because he imparted himself into him, and he's in a relationship with him, and he's seen his own reflection in man, and he's entrusting him with things because he put himself into this. Somebody once said to me, gave me a t-shirt that's, and I loved it, and it said, I've got the body of a God. And I thought, this guy's awesome. I put it on. At the back it said, Buddha. I don't miss any opportunity to have a laugh, but, you know, thank God that physically I don't think he looks anything like me, but spiritually and emotionally. You see, Adam's naming of the animals demonstrates reasoning, and it also demonstrates that he's organizing things into categories and creativity, all reflections of God's intelligent design. Then in Isaiah 1:18, God says this. Listen to what he says to men. I couldn't put all these up because it takes me all day to do these overhead things. But come now. Let us reason together, says the Lord. Reason with us? Why would he want to reason with us? Because he created us in his own image and imputed into us himself. We are a reflection of who he is. Then there's moral consciousness. Romans 2, 14 to 15, the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciousness also bearing witness. So humans are inherently moral beings with a conscience, reflecting God's holy and just nature. It's been mad, it's been messed up. That's why we need Jesus. In Micah 6, 8, he says, he has shown you, oh man, human, person created in God's image, what is good and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with the Lord your God. See, this reflects God's moral character expressed in human action. That's what he expects us to do. And then we see the relational capacity. Genesis 2:18, he says it's not good for men to be alone. He created us in his own image. So God created us for relationship, just as he exists in eternal relationship with the Trinity. You see, male and female created he them. They are two, but they are one in relationship. When they come together in marriage, the two become one, male and female. He created us in his image. We reflect who he is with our families. John 17:21, Jesus said that they might be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. Come on, that's a big one. That's a big one. So he's saying, as I am in you and you are in me, Father and Son being one with the Holy Spirit, that they might be one in us. So Jesus prays for unity among believers. Can you believe that? I know it sounds hard to believe, but that's what he prayed for. What church is that? This one. The one that calls upon his name. So he prays for unity among believers, mirroring the relational nature of the Godhead. Then we have spiritual awareness. And some interpret Ecclesiastes 3:11 differently, but when you look at the original meaning of the wording, you can't take it for granted. He says he has also set eternity into the human heart. In other words, humans have a unique spiritual longing and awareness of something beyond the material world. Isn't it interesting how we all know, we don't feel like we're going to die, do we? You know, sometimes we might wish it. I don't mean that in a disrespectful, bad way, but we don't feel it because you're not going to die. Because you have been created in the image of God eternally. Where will you spend eternity? That depends on what you do with Jesus. Just depends with what you do with Jesus. I know that can sound heavy and I won't get too much into that, but if you've got any questions, come and ask me. Then authority and stewardship. Genesis 1:28, he says, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over it, over the fish, the birds, and every living creature. So humans are given dominion over God's stewards, to rule responsibly on his behalf. He left us in charge. Adam and Eve were the king and queen. We have been left in charge of running this world. We can't do it without God, and it was supposed to always be through relationship with him. Psalms 8:6-8 says, you made them, humans, rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet. It's right there in the word. So this echoes the delegated authority that humanity has in creation. And I'm going to have to cut my sermon short. I'll make this the last point. Both male and female reflect God's image. Both male and female reflect God's image. Male and female created he them. So God created men in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. If we would really take in what that means, if we had taken that in many years ago, things would have been different culturally, because in a lot of cultures and religion, women are less than men. They're secondary, they're not equal. In some religions, big, big, big religions, women are considered to not have a soul. Seriously. Yet, when I look at this, this says male and female created he, them, in the image of God, equal, unique, as one. This verse affirms that both sexes are shared equally in the image of God. There is no hierarchy of value in creation, no hierarchy of value. Might be different functions, you know, and a lot of people say, well, how about this, that, you know, the husband is the head of the home. And the woman is a weaker vessel. I love that word. Look at the ladies cringe. It says that. It says the women are weaker than men. Woohoo, I love it. Some of you are hating me right now. That's what the Bible says. You know why? Because physically speaking, have you ever, I've got three daughters. And you pick up these little girls and you throw them up in the air and they're light. Now I've got a couple of nephews. At the same age, I pick them up. Oh, goodness gracious. You know, when they punch you, they knock you out. And it's like, there is a little bit of a physical difference, just a little bit. I mean, nowadays, you go to my wife and I do box fit. You know, we punch a boxing bag. And sometimes I say to her, let me hold it while you do it. My goodness, she will kill me. I'm scared of her. I treat her so, I respect her. Because one punch from her, I have to come here and pretend that I hit my eye on the door or something. My goodness, I'm thinking, I thought women were supposed to be weaker, but you look, I try really hard to punch his bag. She punches it, I'm like, oh, and I'm holding it. So, my goodness, I think you got a couple of male genes in there. Something went wrong. But I think we all understand what that means. I love to have fun. Sorry, I can't do serious for too long. But he created us in his image. Male and female. Sue, can you just come up here, gorgeous, beautiful woman? I'd like to show you off. Isn't she absolutely beautiful? So, when God created men, right, this doesn't work well for me. I was just going to say, he made us out of the dirt. But when he made woman, he made him out of men's side. That's, I don't like that. But anyway, but interesting, when he created the woman, he took out of men's side. Now, just stand like that. He didn't take from the... You see, he could have taken from the side of the arm and it's still the side. No, but he said, out of the ribs, side, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Because that's where men and women belong, side by side. What does it mean to be the head of the house? My wife is under my arm of comfort, encouragement, protection and provision. I am her servant. Do you understand that? Don't give it away now. You punch that back too hard. You see, what does it mean to be the head of the house? Husbands, love your wives as who? And what did he do for the church? He. Now, guys, we want to be treated like kings. It all starts by treating them like queens. You treat your wife like a queen and she will honor, respect, and trust you. If she doesn't, find another one. No, anyway, listen. I love you, gorgeous. I'm so sorry. Can we delete some of that from... The thing is, I should have finished 15 minutes ago. I called the band to come up. I've got so much more to share on this. But being created in God's image is such a big and crucial thing. I didn't want to just overlook this verse and just get past it to the next one. I'm not sure if we'll look at the second part of this next week, as we've got a lot to get through. But just remember, whether you're a believer or not, or regardless of your belief, tradition or religion, all human beings have been created in the image of God. Then along the line, stuff happened. And now through Christ Jesus, you see that the image was marred by sin, but not lost. In Christ, Jesus is the perfect image of God, and believers have been transformed into his image, the Bible says. And when we come to Christ, we are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Our identity is in the risen, resurrected Christ. That's who we are, who is the last Adam. So now, who we are is who Adam was before the fall. We are in a perfect relationship with God. We have him in us. He loves us. He values us. And we are worth so much because of Jesus. Lord, I just thank you so much for your wonderful word. We thank you, Lord, that we can laugh, celebrate, and also take things seriously at the same time. We thank you for your wonderful word, Lord. We trust and believe your word, and we know your word is truth. Help us, Lord, to apply what we've learned today to our own lives. In Jesus' name, amen.